1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read verses 22 through 28 together. And we'll read this passage responsibly. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 22 through 28. 1 Kings 18, verses 22 through 28. And again, we'll read this passage responsibly. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of the Lord, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, he is a god, either he is taking or talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And let's finish on verse 28 together. Ready? And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And let's pray. Father, again, we need you. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, I so want to have these, your people, closer to you. I want them to love you. I want them to love on you. And I want them to have a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that you'd take this old raspy voice tonight. I pray that you'd use it. Empower me, not for my sake, but for yours, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You'll have to listen on purpose. I apologize for the voice, but let's see where we get here. Elijah is on Mount Carmel, and he challenges King Ahab and 450 false prophets of the god Baal. Now, he has a showdown, so to speak, and he's challenging them. There were 400 other false prophets of other gods there. There was a total of 850 false preachers against one fundamental independent Baptist. And he said, tell you what, let's have a challenge, and we'll let the God that answers by fire prove himself. He said, we'll take two bullocks up there. You crucify one or butcher one, I'll butcher the other. You build an altar, put yours on one. I'll wait till you're done, put mine on. And the God that consumes the sacrifice by fire, let him be the real God. And the one that answers by fire, the other guy gets to kill y'all. They said, okay, we'll take you on. So he takes on the religious world of his day, and he says, since there's so many of you, why don't you go first? We'll let you go first. And they took their bullock and they sacrificed it and they cut it in pieces and they built an altar there and laid it according to the way they would do it. The Bible says that they prayed all morning long to Baal and nothing happened. And about lunchtime, the Bible says, and I love this, Elijah mocked them. Elijah started making fun. He said, hey, fellas, maybe you better cry a little louder. Maybe your God's old and he can't hear you. Maybe you ought to cry a little louder because maybe he went on a journey and he can't hear you. Maybe he's just sleeping and taking a nap and you better try to wake him up. I mean, he was going at it. Y'all think sometimes I get mean. Just read the Bible every once in a while. I mean, Elijah was going after them, and they cried a little louder. We left off in the part of the story. They got so wild, they started taking knives and lancets and cutting themselves and bleeding on the sacrifice, hoping Baal would answer. By the way, that's still a common practice today. You got young people all over the country cutting themselves. It is an act of, listen to me, false worship. It really is. Now, still, nothing happened. He let him cry all afternoon. He laughed. He laid back. He watched the show. About dinner time, he had enough. He said, all right, get done. Y'all are my turn. You've wasted all day. He said, my turn. The Bible says that Elijah repaired the altar. By the way, when you're going to get right with God, the first thing you need to do is repair the altar in your life. You're going to have to get down between you and God and get the altar fixed and not be afraid to get to the altar. Then he took his bullock and he sacrificed it. He put it on the altar. Then they dug a trench around that and he said, y'all got a barrel of water? They said, we do. What for? He said, I want you to pour that barrel of water on the sacrifice and on the wood. Now, I'm not super smart. No comments. But I know this, lighting a fire is one thing, but lighting a fire with wet wood is not fun. Not only did they take one barrel, the Bible says that they took 12 barrels of water and threw on that thing. To where it would flooded that little ditch around there, the thing was dripping wet, and Elijah prays a prayer. It's about 63 words or so, I forget exactly how many words. But it's around 60, 65 words. And he prays a prayer. And he prays to God, the only real God, Jehovah. By the way, I get sick and tired of this political correctness. Well, it's all the same God, just different names. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not at all. And he prays. And he gets on his knees before that altar and he prays. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that the fire from heaven fell, the sacrifice was consumed, the wood was burned up, the rocks that the altar made up were consumed, and all the water was lapped up. It was the epitome of God answering by fire. And Elijah and God won. I like that part. By the way, just so you know, your God's a winning God. God's not a loser. They can mock him to all they want, but I hate to tell you something. He will win. He will win. Now, there are a few things in this story, and I mean this. It'll be a bit shorter. I want to help you with, but I want to show you how all of this takes place. Now, everybody look at me for just a second here. I am not for, and this is going to sound a little bit odd, just running around making fun of people in their religion. There are times I'll refer to it from time to time and even mock it in the pulpit a little bit, but that's in preaching. I don't walk around the gas station and around town mocking it. Now, I do kind of chuckle every time I walk by a Catholic church and there's a guy walking out there in his bathrobe. It just kind of makes me giggle a little bit. I can't help it. People call him Father and he dresses like my mama, amen. There's just something funny about that to me. But I don't, by the way, if I walked down the street and saw him, I would not make fun of him. I really would not. Now, if we got into a doctrinal dissertation together, I would show him where he's wrong. But again, I would be kind, I would be gracious, but every once in a while to prove a point, just like Elijah did, in an open service I would, but I don't think Elijah went around. By the way, I don't think we should. I think we ought to be Christians. I think we ought to treat people with dignity, but in preaching every once in a while to make points, I will do some things like that. Now, let me say this. Number one, Elijah walked with God. Elijah walked with God. Elijah followed a man named Elisha. No, I got that backwards. Elisha followed Elijah. He trained preachers. He had a school of the prophets. Matter of fact, Elijah will come back, I believe. He walked with God so much that God took him one day to heaven without dying. He'll be one of the two prophets in the book of Revelation that come back and preach during the tribulation. And I believe that. Now, that's a pretty close walk with God. When you're walking with God so much that God says, "Hey, Elijah, why don't you just come to my house today? Because you've been walking with me all day long and you're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you come to my house today?" And he's been there for about 3,500 years. what a wonderful way to walk with God. Now, let me tell you something. Walking with God is not this spooky, ethereal, stuff. A walk with God means this. You spend time with God. Hello? Now, I say that to say this. We need to learn to walk with God. I enjoy walking with my wife. My son's in town for a few days for the holiday. My son Jeff's been here. And I took a few hours off on Friday and took him out. And we went golfing. Well, we tried to go golfing. We hacked around a little bit. We both got birdies. On the 18th hole, I got a legitimate birdie. On the fourth hole, he got a legitimate birdie. He hit a goose with his golf ball. you should have seen it, man. That thing was mad. Oh, he drilled it, and it came after him. It was funny. I enjoyed walking and talking with my son. It's been a year since he had been back here. We've seen him more than that in the last year, but I just enjoyed having him and spending time with him. He and I were able to take a couple of the guns out and shoot them a little bit yesterday afternoon, evening. And we walked out to the farm and we talked for a little bit. That's what a walk with God is. When's the last time you just took a walk and talked to God? I talk to myself all the time. Well, you can talk to yourself. I'd rather talk to God. Not that I don't want to talk to you, but I get to talk to God. I talk to him as I'm driving. I talk to him as I'm working. I talk to him as I'm walking. There's times I'll leave my desk and just walk around these buildings and talk to God. I was here before 5:30 this morning. I was talking to God all morning. I went into the nurseries and prayed for the nursery workers and the children in there. I went into Brother and Mrs. Kisner Sunday School class and prayed for them and the kids in there. I went into the teen room and prayed for our teenagers, even though they were out here today. I went into Brother Barnes's class and prayed for them. I went up and down these rows and I prayed for where most of you normally sit and prayed for you by name. I was walking and talking to God. That's what the term walk with God means. That means this. You ought to read your Bible. Folks, that's God talking to you. Many of you want to talk to God, but you don't want him talking back. There was a person here today, they made the comment. It said, "Your preaching's fine until you went to meddling." Well, I wasn't meddling. God was. I'll let the Holy Spirit do the meddling. I'm just doing the preaching. You know, when God starts talking, we're supposed to listen. Some of you only want a one-way conversation with God. God, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I need. God, you need to give this to me. You said you'd give this to me. Why don't you let him do some talking? I'm for prayer, and I do a lot of it. But I'll be honest with you, I spend as much time listening to what God says as I do asking him. Matter of fact, many weeks I spend more time in the book than I do praying. And I pray a lot. But I spend a lot of time in that book. You say, why? Because what he has to say is a whole lot more important than what I have to say. Now, wait a minute. I believe we ought to be at church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I believe we ought to be at church. I learned something today. We were at lunch today with the Jorgensens and the tour group. And Mrs. Jorgensen was really pleased with some of the food. She said, "Oh, this is Southern." And she said, "It's just like where I grew up." I said, "Mrs. Jorgensen, where'd you grow up?" I said, I know you and Dr. Jorgensen met at Tennessee Temple with Dr. Robertson. She said, I grew up in Murfreesboro. Dr. Robertson was my pastor from a little girl on. I said, I didn't know that. She said, you didn't? I said, I didn't. And we had talked about Dr. Robertson for a little while and had an enjoyable talk. I honestly didn't know she was from Murfreesboro. And I was just so pleased, and it was exciting to talk with her. Hey, she had talked with Brother Robertson. That was her preacher. I spent time with Dr. Robertson. Now, he was never my pastor, but I got to spend some time with him. Hey, we ought to be in church. Now, I think we ought to sing to God. When you sing, it was funny, the girls were getting ready to sing. I stand beside the general manager there, and I said, by the way, Doc, you don't want to hear me sing. And he said, oh, come on, jump in. I said, mm-mm. I said, you don't want to pay for everybody's bill getting sick. I said, I'm going to go over there and stand and listen to him because you don't want to hear me sing. He just laughed. He thought that was great. I was serious. There is no way I was going to sing. Now, wait a minute. That means we need to praise God. That means, as I preached here not long ago, praising God means thanking him for what he's done. By the way, I think we ought to worship God. Several months ago, I preached a whole sermon on worship. Worship is not coming to church. This is not a worship service. This is a church service. Worship is you thanking God for what he is. So when you get alone with God and say, God, you're a God of love. You're omnipotent. You're all powerful. You're all present. God, you're merciful. Thank you for all those things that you are. And you start thanking him for what he is. I love my wife, but I don't express all of my love to my wife out in public. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I say nice things to my wife. We hold hands in public. We hold hands in private. I'll kiss her in public, kiss her in private. Now, I do a whole lot more of it in private than I do in public. And you will love God more in private than you will in public. Everybody doing okay? By the way, guess what? When you get this relationship right, these relationships work out a whole lot better. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You know, I've done marriage counsel for many, many, many years. I've been in the ministry a little over 26 years. At the end of this month, I will have been preaching 35 years. July 31st, 1980, I surrendered to preach. 35 years ago this month, I've done a lot of counseling. Can I tell you something? In all of the marriage counsel I've done, I've never had a husband and wife fussing and feuding with each other where both of them were right with the Lord. Never. You see, you start fussing and feuding with people because this relationship's not right. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. My Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love endureth all things, hopeth all things, believeth all things. Hello, all things. You start reading through that chapter of love, and the only way you're going to do that is if you're doing that this direction. Guarantee it. When young people are not obeying mom and dad and there's a strain in a love relationship between a parent and a child, somebody is not right with the Lord. Guaranteed. That's why God said in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first, which is another commandment. Then he says this, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. He said, children, you're supposed to obey mom and dad. You're supposed to honor them as an adult. But fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Some of you are so hard on your kids to live your life and not theirs. Some of us, you know, we dads are really good at picking on the little ones. You know, we think that if, I got to be careful here. I think a four-year-old boy, if for some reason he's playing with something and picks up his sister's toy, that he's going to turn into a sodomite right away. It doesn't work that way. He'll learn. He'll learn. Trust me. He'll find out that that doll is only good for target practice. It's not good to play with. Amen? He's going to find. That's right. He's going to find out that girls' things are for girls and boys are... He doesn't even know the difference between a boy and a girl at that point in time. Once they start learning the difference, it'll work out. Don't worry. Tonka trucks and dirt mean more to him than Barbie dolls and high heel shoes. All right? It really does. Now, I don't think they ought to have a steady diet of the thing, but if it happens once, you don't have to kill the kid because he did something like that. They'll come out of it, I promise you. Then, so that's a walk with God. Number two, now, I want you to listen to this statement. Elijah did not run away when he was afraid. Elijah did not run away when he was afraid. He stood on truth, period. And folks, when you'll learn to stand on that book right there, you'll find out you won't be as afraid. I promise you. Guess what? We were out eating today. There was people in the restaurant. There was somebody there that doesn't like my internal organs. Literally. I was going up to get my second and last plate of food. And they were getting up. I walked over, put my hand in the man's hand, and made him shake my hand. I got right in his face. Say why? Because I was going to be a gentleman about it one way or the other. Now, the wife looked at me, walked around me, and went like this. Say, does that hurt your feelings? No. Not at all. I did what was right. Didn't bother me a bit. She's the one that's not going to enjoy her meal this evening, not me. I'm not mad at him. I'm not. I'm not angry. By the way, when sinners act like sinners, why does it bother you so much? We're all sinners. Well, they should know. Okay, they should know better. How many times have you disobeyed knowing better? I'm not upset. Now, listen to me. I could look at that one incident and say, well, that just ruined my whole day. No, it encouraged me because just a little while later, they're asking the girls to sing. And there's people wanting to come to our church. The guy said, you got any more of those papers? He said, I got some staff that want them. I said, here you go, man. I gave him a half handful of gospel tracts. He's handing them out, amen? Folks, I could get upset because somebody walked the other way, or I could get excited about what God's doing. You see, don't run away. Oh, I can't believe those girls sang. Man, they let her beller, amen? What do we have to be ashamed about? It's the world that ought to be embarrassed, not us. When you stand on truth, people are going to hate your guts. Let's just face it. People that hate God aren't going to like you. Should that surprise you? You have to have fear to have courage. Without fear, there is no courage. You know, those girls weren't real excited about singing at first. About three-fourths of them had grabbed a big thing of candy, cotton candy. Where's Hannah at? There she is. So they had their little cotton candy doojiggers, you know, on the little paper cone thing. They were using them like microphones. It was hilarious. They're taking pictures everywhere. It was funny. They were getting there were cooks and every servers. They were all, the whole place just stopped and watched them sing for a little while. They got done. There's people clapping and stuff. Hey, that's the way it ought to be. Somebody stepped outside that little bit of fear and all of a sudden courage kicked in. It's not the absence of fear. It's going on in spite of the fear. Standing on principles and not religion. Standing on the word of God and not church tradition. Standing on the word of God and not what we've always done. Okay, hang in there. When you stand on truth, you don't need to run the wrong way. The liars run away. I found out a long time ago, when you stand on the truth long enough, liars don't hang around very long. They really don't. They'll just meander out. They won't last. Now, I got to hurry. Number three, Elijah did things God's way and not the popular way. I want you to notice something in this passage later. You can go back and read it. You'll find out that the Bible says that Elijah repaired the altar and laid it in order. Hey, listen to me. Have you ever noticed how disorderly modern religion is? Do you ever notice how out of order things are? It's way too fleshly. Or it's way so super spiritual that nobody understands anything. It's out of order. Dr. Jorgensen and I were talking, and he said, Brother Bush, why is it that, he said, I go to some churches and I wonder why it doesn't grow. He said, they're doing the same things that you're doing, but it's not working where they're doing it. I said, sometimes it's a matter of mental organization. Sometimes it's the physical organization. And sometimes it's the pastor's organization with his time with God. I said, one of the three. I said, there is a fourth occasion. I believe at some time there are some places in this world where the people have rejected the gospel so much that you just can't do anything with them. I said, it's very, very rare, but I do believe it. I have a friend that pastors in a distant state that is in that situation, trying to get him out of it. He's been just beating his head against the wall too long. I said, quit wasting your time. Go somewhere where they're going to listen to you. And we're working on it. That's rare. That's one in every 5,000 people. Just because you're too tired to go out and work doesn't mean people don't want to listen. It takes work. He looked at me. He said, what time did you get to the church this morning? I said, I got to the church at 5:30, a little before. So what time did you get up this morning? I said, I woke up at 3:43 and began to pray for people in my church. And I prayed for a couple dozen preachers around the country. And I laid in my bed from 3:30 to quarter to five before I got up, or 3:45 to 4:45 before I got up, praying for an hour. Then I got up. He said, preacher, that's the difference. He said, it's not what you're doing, it's who you're doing it with. And I said, yes, sir, it's who you're doing it with. Elijah did things God's way. Folks, I don't decide right and wrong. That book does. That book does. You know, I don't need to call a group of preachers to find out whether we ought to marry what the Supreme Court says we're supposed to marry. We don't have to have a religious convocation to find out. We don't have to have a meeting of the Cardinals or the Cubs or the Nationals. Let's face it. We know what the Bible says. By the way, about 30 years ago, we didn't need to have a meeting to find out whether we should ordain women to be preachers. God said the qualification of a preacher is to be the husband of one wife. Guess what? Ladies, you can't be the husband of one wife. I'm not against ladies teaching Sunday school. I'm not against ladies teaching ladies. But I hate to tell you, I'm not calling no woman preacher in here. Say why? Because it's against God. I'm for ladies. I really am. And I work hard at making sure the spirit of our ladies is good. And we have plenty of things for y'all to do. But may I say this? As long as I got life in my body and I have what minimal sanity I still have, there's not going to be a woman visiting preacher here. At least behind the pulpit. She might sit there, but she's not going to enjoy it. You see, he didn't decide right and wrong. He let the word of God decide right and wrong. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't let the world or religious people try to tell you right from wrong. Let the Bible tell you right from wrong. I know a lot of preachers that used to preach the right way that they now preach against what they used to live. They used to say one thing, and now they're doing what they said not to do. They look at you like, how come you haven't changed? That fellow that called me a couple weeks ago and said, well, if you just learn to to be kind and you learned to pussyfoot a little bit. He didn't use that term. I did. He said, maybe you could grow a little faster. I said, you know what? God didn't tell me how fast to grow. He told me to obey him. You can pussyfoot all you want. I'm going to obey God. I said, there's other things that attract a crowd. You can find a crowd of flies in the field and you can attract them with something. Are we doing all right? Elijah was popular with God and didn't care what people thought of him. Some of you wear your feelings on your sleeve too much. I think we ought to be gracious people. I think we ought to be kind. I think we ought to be courteous. Before church tonight, we went down to Sheets. I needed a cup of decaf coffee. Guess I should have got the regular stuff. I needed some decaf because I'm trying to keep my vocal cords warm and in wet right now. And man was getting done paying, so I held the door. He said, oh, you're the doorman. I said, yes, sir. He said, sir? I said, yes, sir. He said, wow. He said, you have a good evening. I said, I will, sir, and you too. I think that's just appropriate. I wasn't trying to do it for a show. I got out of the car and told my wife, I said, I have had more comments about this one tie than all of my other ties put together. Every time I wear it, I get comments. I had about 8 or 10 people out in public today say something about it. Got out of the car and I'd already passed the folks we were parked next to, and the lady stopped my wife and said, hey, tell your husband I really like his tie. I enjoy that kind of stuff. Not because it's me. I just enjoy being kind and courteous. I think we ought to do that. But may I say this? I'm not doing it to be popular with people. I'm doing it to be popular with God. God said live peaceably with all men as much as within you is. I think we ought to live as peaceful as we can, but if it comes to fighting over truth, guess what? The tiger's unleashed. Here I am. All right? Now, I have to finish with this point and I will be done. Number 4, Elijah realized he had a special relationship with God only he could fulfill. I made a reference to this not long ago. I think it was last week. God made you for a reason. God made you and your personality for a reason. And you are part of the personality of God. And if you don't spend time with God, you are cheating God from what he made you to do and be. I have 3 children. None of the 3 are the same. Praise the Lord. All 3 of them are totally different. And you know what? I have a different relationship with all 3 of them. But they're all my children. You know, I don't want my daughter to act like her brothers for many reasons. But you know, I don't expect Jeff to act like Josh. Thank God. And I don't expect Josh to act like Mindy. Praise the Lord. Or Jeff. Praise the Lord. Wait a minute. I have a different relationship with all 3. Listen to me. Do you know I don't love any of them more or less than the other? Not a bit. God gave them to us to enjoy with the personality they have. Now, listen to me. God made you with a specific personality. Why don't you give your personality back to God? I told that joke about the police officer and the old couple this morning. You know, I read that joke to God. Now, I had to clean it up, but I did. It wasn't sent in the format that I would present in public, but I was able to make it worthwhile. Say why? Because I felt like it was good, clean humor. I did. I think it's fun to laugh. I think God enjoys funny things. I really do. Have you ever seen some of the things in creation? You wonder, how did God think of that one? That's pretty weird looking. Where's Wiley at? He's got turkeys. Have you ever seen it? That's a crossbreed between a turkey and a chicken. Okay? That's a fat chicken with big legs. Amen? Goofy looking. Now, wait a minute. There are certain things that Have you ever looked at a wild turkey? They're ugly, but they're not. They're smart. They're incredibly intelligent. Man, but they're the goofiest looking things at times. You ought to see a baby turkey. Well, Jeff and I were out yesterday and saw one. It only stood about that high. It was the funniest little thing, and we got within about 6 or 8 feet of the thing before it took off. It was trying to hide, you know. And all of a sudden, it had all it could take, and it was running out of there, man. Yeah, goofy-looking little thing. I'm thinking, God has a sense of humor. Have you ever seen a baby? It's like a cue ball that screams and messes. You know, they're and I know you ladies, you're going to get mad at me. But they're really not that beautiful. Okay? Anything with no teeth, no hair, is all. It can't talk. And I'm not talking about your husband. let's face it. It's you can't play with it. It's not going to go out and do much yet. It really is kind of. And when they're first hatched, they're really ugly. I mean, ugly to the bone. Now, eventually, they grow out of that some. Then they turn into Brother Joe Lopez. But anyway, let's face it. They're really not that beautiful. You find the beauty in it because of your love for it. Now, watch this. Some of you feel like you're not beautiful to God, but God made you. You're His child. You know, no parent looks at their child and says, "You're ugly," and means it. Promise you. I joke about it from time to time. But you don't look at your own child and say, "You're ugly." You never do. Those are your children. Whether you're proud of them or not, they're your children. And they're beautiful to you. Guess what? When you're God's child, you're beautiful to Him. And He made you to spend time with Him. Let me ask you a question. Are you cheating God? Young person, are you cheating God? Some of you are cheating God of the personality He gave you to spend time with Him. Some of you want to be tough. Some of you want to be like the world. Can I tell you something? Why don't you just be like what God wants? Your life will be a whole lot better. You look at these crack addicts and these people walking the streets, and they're all, they look like they got hit by a Mack truck, look like an empty suit walking the streets. Look like a bunch of zombies walking around. "Hey, man, you got a few bucks." It's all they want, another hit of drugs. Thinking, man, what a waste. What a waste. Now listen to me. God made you to fill the only place in His heart that has the personality you have. Are you cheating Him? Are you cheating Him? You know, I'm so glad that 28 years ago, I met my wife. 26 years ago, last month, we got married. I wonder if she wouldn't have gone back to college like she wasn't going to go back the year we met. Family was going through a tough time. A lady named Marlene Evans got on the phone, called her at home and said, "Debbie, you need to get to Bible college." Guess what? Within 6 weeks after that, we met the first time. Wonder if she wouldn't have obeyed. Good night. My life would have been so much different, and hers. Who knows? Who knows? You see, He gave you what He wanted you to have. He gave you a personality He needs from you. Mike, God even needs your personality. And that's saying something. No, let's face it. God made each and every one of us to give God something nobody else could give. By the way, He doesn't want you running around trying to be somebody else. I'm not trying to be anybody else. I'm not. My homiletics teacher won't tell you who he was. Homiletics is one of those fancy words in Bible college for preaching. Okay? I took 2 semesters of a class called homiletics. Homiletics 1, homiletics 2. Say, what is that? That's where you sit in a class with about 40 fellas in my college, and we sat in a room about the size of this section over here, and they would teach you what an introduction is, and they would teach you what a transition is, and they would teach you what the main body of your sermon is, and the conclusion, and they would teach you some different outlining techniques and structures and things like that, and thought that you were real smart. Then you had to get up and preach them. And you were preaching in front of all your peers. And the teacher would sit in the back of the classroom. And this is no lie. I remember sitting there one day, and there was about 40, 50 guys in there. Fella got up. He said, all right, time for you to preach your introduction. You get up and you start. And all of a sudden the teacher went, stop! The guy stopped. He said, sir, he said, your clothes don't match. Your tie doesn't match your suit. He said, sit down. He said, there's no man in the country that wants to have a pastor that can't even match his own clothes. Just sit down. Boy, this is going to be a fun class. Another guy got up. He got partway through it. He was dangling his participles. He was slaughtering his gerunds. And his grammar was about as bad as anybody you've ever seen. The teacher couldn't take it anymore. He said, stop! He said, you're supposed to be an educated man. He said, sit down. You write it out to where you can read it and it makes sense grammatically. Oh, boy. I hope he doesn't call me. I mean, we went person after person after person, and not a one of them was getting through, you know. I got up. I started going. I got farther than most. And then that dreaded word. Stop! Just stopped and looked at him. He said, what's your name? I said, sir, you know my name. He said, what's your name? I told him. He said, you're not. And he gave me another person's name. I said, no, sir. He said, then quit trying to preach like him. Quit trying to be like him. And I know what my eyeballs did. I went, he said, back up, start over, and preach it as Craig Bush, not so-and-so. I'll be honest with you, my blood started to boil in a little bit. He attacked my pride. I backed up, fumbled through it. I got to work. I drove an hour to Valparaiso, Indiana to work. I was grumbling. I stood at my machine, started working at night. For 45 minutes, I was complaining to God, running two machines, about how that was so unfair, that teacher, to say that to me. And when I finally shut my mouth, the Holy Spirit said, hey, stupid, why don't you listen to him? Ooh. The next 7 hours and 15 minutes were not a fun night. I mean, God got all over that. That night, I looked to God a little bit later in the evening, and I said, God, I don't have much to offer you. I don't even know what I am or what my personality is, but I'll just be me. I can't be somebody else. You know, I can't be Dr. Jack Hiles. By the way, I don't want to be. He did. Let's face it, I can't be. I can't be Lester Olof. I can't be Lee Robertson. I can't be Charles Finney. I can't be George Whitfield. I can't be D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, J. Frank Norris. Charles Spurgeon, I can just be little old me. Guess what? I have the same book they have. I have the same God and the same Holy Spirit. I can't be Moses, but guess what? I got the same Holy Spirit Moses had. I can't be John the Baptist, because I still got my head attached right now. But can I tell you something? I still have the same gospel, I have the same Bible, and I have the same God and the same Holy Spirit he had. And God didn't make me to be John the Baptist. He made me to be Craig Bush. And by the way, he made you to be you. How long have you been cheating him of your personality? How long? God's not asking you to be somebody else. He wants you to be you, filled with his power. That's all he wants. You know, there are people in this room that will reach people I cannot reach. Do you know Evan Barnes will reach people I cannot reach? Tony Barnes will reach people I can't reach. Mike Schenenberger will reach people in Wiley and Hmong and Jim Tuning and April and Joyce and Joe and Brother Gus and Ray. And I could go all around the room. You all will reach people I cannot reach because God made you to reach them. And you can touch the heart of God in a way I can't. God made you to be you. God made you to be you. Why don't you walk with God the way God made you? God didn't make you to be Elijah, but God made you to be you, and you can walk with God as close as Elijah did. That's the whole key. Don't run away, run to him. Stand on the truth, and realize you have a special standing with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How long has it been since you walked with God? I mean, you spent time with him. I'm not talking about a ritual. Some little ritual where you recite and requote a prayer. I'm talking about where you actually spend time with God. I'm not talking about you just go through the motions. I'm talking about you walk with your God.